Mark chapter 4, verses 21 to 25. And if, let's just stand for the reading of God's Word. Mark chapter 4, verses 21 to 25. And He, that is Jesus, was saying to them, "A lamp is not brought out to be put under a basket, is it? Or under a bed? Is it not brought to be put on a lampstand? For nothing is hidden except to be revealed, nor has anything been secret but that it would come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." And He was saying to them, "Take care what you listen to. By your standard of measure, it'll be measured to you, and more will be given you besides. For whoever has, to him more shall be given. And whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him." Lord, honor your word today in Jesus. Amen. You can be seated. These two little parables here continue what Jesus was talking about. We've looked at the last couple of weeks in the parable of the soils in verses 1 to 20. You remember that His disciples ask Him, "Why are you speaking in parables?" Verse 11 and 12, He said, "Well, to you has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God, but those who are outside get everything in parables, so that while seeing they may see and not perceive, while hearing they may hear and not understand, otherwise they might return and be forgiven." Now that sounds almost like Jesus is saying, "I don't want the people out there to get this. I don't want people to understand the truth. So, disciples, keep it secret." And there's a sense in which that was actually true at the moment. Jesus wasn't ready to give them everything. And there's even a sense in which God does hide the truth of salvation from the self-assured and the arrogant. And this was a judgment against Israel for their hard-heartedness. Matthew 11, verse 25, Jesus says, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants." But I can almost hear Jesus' disciples puzzling over this saying, thinking in their hearts, "Lord, we don't understand. Are you saying that you want the truth hidden? That you don't want people to know who you are and why you came? Lord, are you really giving us the good news only so we can keep it secret? Is that what verse 12 is saying?" Well, these two parables are meant to answer that question upon their hearts. Is it God's intention to keep the gospel secret from some people so they can't be saved? Well, let's look at Jesus' answer. The first thing you need to notice is that in verse 21 and 22, Jesus describes the gospel as something. He describes it as a lamp. And nobody, He says, lights a lamp for the purpose of keeping it hidden. Lamps, you understand, are made to give light, not to hide it. The kind of lamp He's talking about there is not the kind of electric lamp that you have in your living room that gives off lots of light. It's one of these little deals like this. These little oil lamps, put oil in here and a wick here, and you would light that, and they're a lot like candles. They just don't give a lot of light off. And so if you want to see them, you have to put them up high somewhere in the living room, and it'll give light to the whole room, especially in those little one-room houses that they lived in. And so get that picture in your mind, a little bitty lamp like this put up on a high place in the house will then give light to the whole house. And Jesus says nobody takes a little lamp like that and lights it and just to stick it under a bed or under a basket. No, He says, that'd be stupid. That wouldn't make sense to do it that way. You bring the light out and you put it in the open so that the whole room can benefit from it. Now that's the parable. What's it mean? Well, be very careful at this point, because if you're like me, you will misread Jesus' words because they're familiar to you from another place. When I first read this, I thought He was talking about me, my light. "Let your light so shine before men." We have a song that we teach our children, don't we? "This little light of mine," how's that go? "I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine." Let it shine, there you go. And Jesus says that, Matthew 25, Sermon on the Mount. He uses this image, verse 14 of Matthew 5, and says, "You are the light of the world, disciples. Don't hide that light under a bushel somewhere. Let your light be seen so that they will glorify your Father who is in heaven." So that's a good song. Keep teaching it to your children. But that's not what Jesus is talking about here. You've got to pay attention to the context. Here, the thing that must not be hidden is Christ Himself and the gospel that has revealed Him. Literally what He says here, it's different from Matthew. Literally here He says, "The lamp does not come for the purpose of being placed under a basket." Your English translation smooths it out, trying to make it sound more like Matthew, but it really shouldn't do that. The lamp, the one lamp, does not come into the world in order to be hidden. Do you understand that when Christ came into this world, God lit a lamp? Hebrews chapter 1 calls Him the radiance of God's glory. 2 Corinthians 4 says that in Him we see the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. John chapter 1, we're told that He is the light that shines in the darkness. Christ Himself is the light that lights our way to God. He's the one who shows us the Father and gives us the knowledge of salvation in Him. And so if you want to know God, you must look to Christ. He's the light. So Jesus says here, God is not so foolish that He's going to light a lamp and then keep it hidden. No, I am here to display the good news, not to hide it. In fact, look at verses 22 and 23. A lamp is not brought to be put under a basket or under a bed, is it? Is it not brought to be put on a lampstand? For nothing is hidden except to be revealed, and anything that is secret will indeed be brought to light. Now keep in mind that the hidden gospel that He's talking about here is the secret of the kingdom He was talking about back in verse 11. And remember that as Jesus is speaking these words to them at that moment, the truth is hidden from sight, right? Nobody then knew who Jesus was. Not even His disciples understood what He had come to do, that He was indeed God in the flesh. It was to them a mystery. To them, Jesus looked just like any other ordinary man. Who knew that He was God in the flesh? Who knew that He'd come to lay down His life as a ransom for His people? Who knew that? Nobody. Nobody knew that. Now we sing, on this side of the cross, we sing, "Veiled in flesh the Godhead see. Hail incarnate deity, pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel." We understand who He is, but they didn't. It was a mystery. For them, it was hidden from sight at that moment. It was a secret. God did hide the truth during the earthly ministry of Jesus, during the whole of the Old Testament period. It wasn't known, it wasn't seen, but He hid it then so that there was a time coming when He could begin to make it gloriously known to the nations. When? What made the change? We just celebrated it right here. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ changed everything. You understand that? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10 says, "God's glory has been made known by the appearing of Jesus our Savior, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." Romans 16, 25 talks about the mystery that was hidden for long ages past, but now is manifested in Jesus Christ so that He might be made known to all the nations. Do you understand? You live in marvelous times. Had you lived in the Old Testament era or even the first century, you would have been in darkness. The truth would have been veiled. It would have been hidden from the vast majority of humanity. But now on this side of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the light of the gospel has been spread broadly and openly to the nations. And so the hiddenness of the gospel He speaks of here is only temporary. It's meant to be seen. In fact, look at verse 22 again. This is not just a statement, it's a promise. "For nothing is hidden except to be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret but that it would come to light. He's not talking about every secret in the world coming to light. He's talking about this secret. The gospel that was hidden from them has been sent into the world not to remain hidden, but to be displayed openly so that all understand. The seed, going back to the parable, planted in the good soil, doesn't stay in the soil forever. It sprouts and it grows and it bears fruit. It brings a harvest of salvation. The veil in the temple is ripped away as Christ is proclaimed openly throughout the world so that every nation may see and hear the wonders of God's sovereign mercy and the earth be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Habakkuk 2:14, which we have on our missions globe over here. Meaning what? Meaning, church, don't read verses 11 and 12 from a couple of weeks ago in a hyper-Calvinistic way. Now, I'm a Calvinist. I love the sovereign mercy of God. I believe only God can turn the heart. I believe it is only the power of grace that turns the human heart, that no man can turn his own heart, that all men are lost and hopeless apart from what God must do. But don't read this as though it's saying God doesn't want the Word to get out, that God is doing something to suppress His own Word or to hold back mercy so that His mercy is not spread because He won't let it. Don't read the Bible that way. You'll miss it. No, the reason some are not saved is not because God won't let them be or that God has set out to keep the truth hidden from them. The reason men and women are not saved is because their hearts are hardened by sin. Their wills are set against God and they refuse to hear what He has to say, Romans 1. It is only the power of the God working through this gospel that can shatter those hard hearts, uproot those wicked weeds of self-centeredness, and give them what they need. We sang about it, hearing ears and seeing eyes. Verse 23, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, that brings us to the next thing here. And that is to understand the importance of this gospel for you personally. Make sure, you who hear me this morning, that you get this gospel and that you give it your full and undivided attention. Look at verses 24 and 25. He says, take care what you listen to. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. And more will be given you besides, for whoever has to him shall more shall be given, and whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away. Now again, keep this in mind. The context is the parable of the soils. You've got to keep that in mind or you won't understand what he's talking about. Remember that the sower goes out to sow the Word of God, verse 1 to 20. And as he sows, different kinds of people are listening. In the same crowd, there are casual listeners, hard soil, stony and weedy soil, and there are careful listeners, the good soil. Casual listeners, like the hard-packed soil and weedy and stony soil, hear the Word with their physical ears, but it doesn't get in. It doesn't go very far. They don't give it their full attention. Either because they don't care, like the stony or hard soil, or because they're distracted by other things. But either way, here's the point, they don't see its value. It's not a big deal to them. So when it comes, they don't embrace it. They don't take it into their heart and give it their full attention so that it begins to bear fruit in their lives. I've had people over the years in my Old and New Testament classes who make A's on every test, yet never, from everything that you can tell, looking at the life and knowing them further on, never come to know Christ. They listen. They get the facts. They can write them down on a piece of paper. They can repeat them to you, but they never see. They never hear. It never gets in. That's what Jesus is talking about here. They are casual listeners, and then he says there are careful listeners, the good soil where a ready heart embraces the truth and brings a harvest. Now, with that in mind, listen carefully to what Jesus says in verse 24, take care what you listen to. Take care. Wake up. That's what it means. Pay attention. Learn to recognize what deserves your attention and what does not. Do you understand? We live in a world of messages, full of messages, filled with messages, TV, radio, internet, billboards, movie, music, Oprah, your friends, politicians, all screaming at you all the time from every direction. You can't listen to it all. You can't. You don't have that ability. I was reading a couple of weeks ago about a new generation of Asimo robot. That's the Japanese robot that is pretty amazing. The newest generation of Asimo robot can listen to three people at one time and understand every word all three are saying as they're sitting in front of him speaking simultaneously. Moms, what you wouldn't give for that ability. But you don't have that ability. You've got to choose what you give your attention to. And you've got not just three, but hundreds of voices shouting at you all the time. You have to be selective. So what do you listen to, Christian? What are you letting form your thinking, shape your values, renew or despoil your mind? I tell you what you listen to. You're listening right now to whatever it is you think is most important, to whatever voice you perceive and evaluate as being most important. That's what gets your attention. And so if it's Oprah, you wouldn't miss her for anything. If it's your friends, you value them as opposed to parents or others. If it's some music star or politician or whoever, that's who holds your attentions. They speak, your ears perk up, you're listening, and as a result of listening to them, they're the ones shaping your values, shaping your beliefs, molding your ideas about life, and ultimately setting the course of your life. Jesus says, be careful who you listen to, what you listen to, because that's what sets the direction of your life. So, Christian, ask this question. It's vital. Is Jesus setting the course of your life? Is He the voice supreme that you give your attention to? Whenever the word is preached, your ears perk up. When you open it, you're all heart. You're wanting to hear Him. You're thirsting and hungering for righteousness. You're pursuing the Word of God as He speaks. That is your treasure. Or is something else? Be careful what you listen to, but also notice, be careful how you listen. Luke chapter 8, 18, Luke interprets Jesus' words a little bit differently. He says, be careful how you listen. You understand both Mark and Luke are translating Jesus' Aramaic words into Greek. And so they each translate them, just a slight different nuance here, because they want us to get the full picture. Not only must you be careful what you listen to, church, you must also be careful how you listen to the truth when it's put in front of you. Again, we're back in the parable of the soils. How well do you hear the truth? Children, kids in this room, this is vital for you. Please listen just for a second. Children in this room, teenagers, it does you no good to sit in this building with good gospel seed falling all around you if you never take it in. Don't be, oh please don't be a casual hearer. Don't be someone who sits there like hard soil, letting these words just bounce off your chest and bounce off your ears and fall onto the floor and onto the pew beside you. Don't be like the shallow ground who takes a little bit and sticks it in your pocket, and yet before you even get home, it's been scattered and lost. Take this truth in. Come hungry as you come. Christian, come expecting God to speak to you through His Word in a way that's going to change your life. You see, that's the key here. That really is the key here. There's a critical difference between the casual hearer and the careful hearer. Because the casual hearer does not believe this stuff really matters anyway. So he doesn't give it his full attention. He puts in his time at church. But that's it. Something else is on his mind while he's sitting here. He's thinking about what he's going to do later, the movie he wants to see, what he's going to do at work. So he doesn't get it. It just bounces off. Or maybe you're not that kind of casual hearer, and you're kind of proud about the fact that you're not that kind of casual hearer. Well, there's another kind, and it's the shallow hearer who listens a little bit while he's here, puts in his time, pays attention for a few minutes, even feels something. Jesus says that the shallow heart receives it with joy initially, But as soon as he walks away and gets busy in his life, other things begin to consume him. Other things matter more: the approval of friends, getting ahead in life, making lots of money, being seen as popular, whatever. But the seed of God's Word gets pushed out. I mean, do you see how critical this issue is? Notice what Jesus says in verse 24. He says, listen to these words, by your standard of measure, it'll be measured to you. What will be measured to me? What are we measuring? What are we evaluating that as I evaluate it, it will then be evaluated and measured to me? Well, in the context, here again, he is speaking about the Word of God. Is this Word precious to you? Do you see it, as Proverbs says, as gold and silver and valuable jewels to be treasured and hoarded and taken in and not let fall to the ground worthlessly? Do you treasure the Word of God in your heart that you might not sin against God, that by that Word you are being transformed by the renewing of your mind? Do you listen, or are you instead a casual observer who lets all the words trickle off of your ears down onto the floor where it's lost? Notice what Jesus warns in verse 25. He says, if you're the casual hearer, even that little bit of truth that you think you got, a little bit that you think you benefited from, will be taken away. Never forget, there's an enemy who lives to steal the word that was deposited upon your ear. There's a shallow and weedy kind of hearing that lets the word get in a little bit, but then the weeds sprout or the rocks underneath block the roots and it dies and it bears no fruit, but the end result is the same. You're lost. No, church, listen, come. Come to God's Word, whether here as we preach or Sunday school or Bible study or personal reading. Come eager to hear what God has to say. Come with a ready heart. Now, I know for little ones, again, little ones might not understand every word they hear. But one of the reasons we have little ones in the service with us, besides the fact that it is amazingly biblical as opposed to other arrangements, one of the reasons we do it is because though they don't understand every word that's said, that little bit that they get can take root, and it does take root and begins to expand in their lives to bring a harvest. It really does. God knows so much more than educational elites know. That's another sermon. Verse 25. For whoever has, listen to this, speaking of the word, whoever has, whoever gets it, whoever brings it in, to him more shall be given. And whoever does not have even what he has shall be taken away from him. I want you to hear this. Home stretch here, but I want you to hear this as a terrifying warning and as a marvelous promise. Terrifying warning, first of all. Whoever does not have, even what he has, shall be taken away. Whoever does not value this word, does not measure its worth, does not treasure it in his heart, who's he speaking to here? Listen, he is giving a warning to you who are casual hearers. Children, listen to me again. Teenagers, adults who were made to come here by somebody else. This is an urgent warning personally inscribed by Christ for you. Do not think that just because you've come into this room and given half an hour and half an ear to a sermon that that's going to do you a lick of good. Because even this little bit that you may accidentally get can be ripped out of your hands if it's not taken to heart. Sitting in church, listening to sermons does not guarantee that you are being saved. Only if the truth gets into your heart where it bears fruit and brings life does it guarantee that you are being saved. Listen, please. It is possible to go to hell with your ears filled with sermons, because you never saw the value of the message. You never gave it your full attention. You never got on your knees and cried out to God for an understanding heart, for a heart that was open and ready and able to take it in. And even the little bit that you happen to take away is only at the surface. And it fails to bring life. Now, I beg you this morning, I beg you, don't let this pastor or these praying parents know that they have done all that they can to put the good gospel seed in your heart only to have it carelessly tossed away. Don't be one of the millions who grow up in church only to be lost. Hear this warning. Hear this warning. Dear children, God, would you give that warning to hearts and cause it to bear fruit? But then there's a wonderful promise. And I want to end on the wonderful promise to rejoice in. Rejoice in this. Verse 25 says, "For whoever has embraced this seed by faith, whoever's taken hold of it with a ready heart, to him even more shall be given." Into verse 24, "By your standard of measure will be measured to you, and to the one who is the ready hearer, more will be given to you besides." More, increase, abundance, he's talking about. Not junk like Benny Hinn will lie to you and say, but the Word of God and the spiritual blessing and the reality of Christ. Give your full attention to this message. Listen to me. Come with ears ready and hearts open to receive. Jesus says, God will give you an abundance of grace. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. Listen to me, young ones, older ones, do what Proverbs 23:23 says. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom and instruction and understanding. Take hold of this truth. Bring it into your heart. Don't let go of it. Little ones in this room again, though you don't understand every word that I'm saying week after week, that little bit that you take to heart, God has promised here, will, as it is guarded as a precious jewel and treasured as the very Word of God, will bring an eternal harvest to your life 30, 60, 100-fold. You know what that means? It's verse 20 back in this parable itself. 30, 60, 100-fold means infinitely, unendingly, forever expanding. So this morning, will you join me in seeking God for a ready heart? Will you join me in praising Him for this wonderful promise of the power of His gospel? Oh, church, this is our message. We have no other. This is the power of God that changes lives. There is no other. We have nothing else to offer the world but the gospel of Jesus Christ, crucified, buried, risen for sinners, which works to change lives and hearts and to bring us in as the people of God. Well, Father, we rejoice in this message. We rejoice that the hearing ear receives the deeply implanted seed, and that deeply implanted seed bears fruit. God, I pray this morning that there will not be in our midst the casual, hardened heart that cannot take in the seed because of its hardness, or the cluttered, busy heart that does not treasure this as the one truth that they must have. Would you cause us to consider this morning who we listen to and how we hear your truth? And would you give hearts that are able to take hold of this promise that as we treasure this word in our heart, we will not sin against you, because Christ will renew and transform us through the hearing of your gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand with me and let's go before.